They're looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, welcome to the first Everton Park Royals podcast of 2023, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. We're back from the Midlands, but we're back with 0 points after a 1-0 defeat away at West Bromwich Albion today. Been joined to discuss our first loss of the year with Paul Mann. Paul, not really the start of the year you want, is it?
No. But being realistic, I couldn't see anything else but a West Brom win today. They're in the absolutely amazing form. That now gives them 24 points out of the last 30. They haven't conceded a goal in open play for nearly 900 minutes now. I mean, they are banging form. And you look at their midfield, Malombe, you've got Swift, you've got Wallace. I mean, they got some quality championship players in there. So yeah, as much as it's not ideal, I didn't come away from the game thinking, oh, this is really disappointing, this is terrible. I thought, we've put in everything we can. And that's all you can ask, isn't it?
Yeah, when the players give 100%, it's difficult to find too much to criticise about the overall performance, I guess. So we've also been joined by Matt Lansley. You were at the Hawthorns today. Fun away day, fun away ground. What are your thoughts on the Hawthorns in general?
It was a fun day. I always enjoy going to the away matches. I think, to be honest, the Hawthorns is a bit of an interesting ground because it's one of those that when it's loud, it is actually really quite loud, but it goes in the same elements. It just goes dead for like 5 minutes as well.
It was very loud when they scored. And after they scored, it was very loud for the next 25 minutes. But before that, it was up and down.
Yeah. The first 15 minutes was quite loud as well. But I mean, they had, you know, 3-4 chances, you know, to score. So you kind of expect it for that. But yeah, you know, there was protests as well against the owners, you know, which sadly we've been in that situation as well. So, you know, I can sympathise with the West Brom fans. Seemingly not many Reading fans seem to want to sympathise in that instance either, which I thought was interesting given our position less than 6 months ago. But maybe some Reading fans, you know, have very short memories or, you know, aren't too bothered about other clubs. But yeah, no, hopefully they can get behind the scenes all sorted, because, you know, I think maybe they won't care if they go up this season, who knows. But but yeah, hopefully their protests will have the desired effects for them.
Yeah, the protests were a thing. I'm not quite sure how effective they will be, given, you know, I feel like it might have been going on for a little while now. But let's discuss the game. We'll kind of move past the West Brom protests, because none of us have full knowledge really of what's going on at West Brom, except for the fact that Ron Gourlay is somehow going to ruin their club
in some way.
Yeah, who knows? Let's never mention that man again if possible.
No. I'll try my best. We had 3 changes today, Paul. So we had Tom Holmes, who missed out with an illness of some kind. I did speculate on the way back from this that he maybe just hung over from New Year's Eve still, possibly. Who knows? I doubt it. But Naby Sarr missed out due to a calf pull or strain from Norwich. It appeared like Paul Ince is basically just resting him.
Yeah, but apparently he was tightness in both his groins, but he should be okay. It was just a more of a precaution than actually. It wasn't an injury.
Yeah, I can't say I buy into that one that much.
Well, that's what Paulin says. He's the person who's there.
What Paulin says and what Paulin means, I think sometimes are two different things, as we discussed.
100%. 100%. Like any manager.
And we also saw Yakimete come back in for Lucas Schell. Disappointed to see Tom Holmes miss out, Paul, because I feel like it does make us weaker defensively. But we did see the reintroduction of Scott Dan to the starting 11 today, which was an interesting experience for the start of the game.
It's a shame that Tom Holmes missed out, because he's been in excellent form. There's no doubt on that. But Scott Dan, now that is a tricky one, isn't it? Because in the first 10, 15 minutes, he looked about my age, and that is not good for a professional footballer in the Championship. I'm 47, by the way. So
it was an utter car crash of a performance.
Well, let me finish, Matt. He wasn't looking great in that first 15 minutes at all. Totally. He was okay for big periods of the match, though. We can talk about the goal later. But was he horrific? No, I don't think he was horrific. But yeah, Holmes was probably above that level this season, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the first 10 minutes, especially, you're right. He looked very out of place, I'll be honest. Very out of place. And I mean, the first chance that West Brom got, he ended up left on the floor as one of the West Brom players ran at him from 25 yards out, and he ended up just kind of tripping over his own feet, Matt. And this ended up with a really good save from Joe Lumley from 6 or 7 yards. I think John Swift laid it off to a striker who shot from 6 or 7 yards. I think Swift probably could have taken it on himself potentially, but he laid it off, and Lumley makes a good save. It is kind of straight at him, but it's a good save to keep us at 0-0 so early on.
Yeah, no, it was a good save. It's one of those that I kind of looked at and I thought, you know, Swift against his former club. I mean, if that's me, I'm shooting and giving it the big one to the away fans, to be honest, you know, like he was booing him and everything. So like, I was a bit surprised that Swift didn't shoot himself, but I mean, Scott Dan, I don't know whether or not he slipped over or if he's tried to do a slide tackle to an invisible person. I can't really work out even what he was trying to, what even happened, to be honest. Like, and like,
I think
like,
he just kind of clumsily fell over his own feet, I'll be honest.
It's not good. It's really not good, you know, but I mean, he's been out, I guess all you can say is he's been out of football for seemingly since the dawn of time. You know, so he did get better through the first half and through the game, it has to be said. But you know, those first 15 minutes and that chance, to be honest, it's one of those that, you know, if that's Reading, you're saying they've, you know, you've got to be scoring that. Lumley makes a great save.
Can we just talk about the formation that Paulin started with today? Because as bad as Scott Dan was in those first 15 minutes, that was a car crash of a formation that we started with. That was just asking for West Brom to come on to us, just attack us. You cannot play in a match like that. In fact, I don't think there's many games in the Championship where you can just have Carroll up front on his own, because it just really limits us so much.
So the first,
it's just, you need someone there with him.
Yeah, I think the first 15 minutes, we struggled at all with ball retention. And yes, we're not a very good side at keeping the ball anyway, but West Brom are clearly a much better side than us. And I think if you line up with Carroll, basically, and the first 15 minutes was, I think, Carroll just up top kind of on his own with, maybe he was like shadow striker, but he wasn't close enough to be effective to keep the ball. But you ended up with us not keeping the ball and they're just coming straight back at us every time. And the first 15 to 20 minutes, I would say, Hendrick and Loom, they weren't passengers necessarily, but they were very anonymous in front of the defence. Both of them were very reluctant to go and press on the ball when the ball was in West Brom's possession in midfield, which meant that it was getting played through them and neither of them were actually affecting the game in any way whatsoever. So we really struggled in that first 15 or 20 minutes to just even make it out of our own kind of like final third, which just resulted in us just giving away so many chances.
West Brom in the first 15 minutes had 87% possession. I mean, that's a bit frightening, isn't it, Matt? I mean, that how we didn't concede in those 15 minutes is a miracle. And Joe Lumley, basically.
Yeah, no. Well, like, kind of, as you guys said, kind of the way the team was set up, like, I guess it's not that we played a different formation to kind of the rest of the season. I think it's more because you know, Carroll's played up top on his own at times through the season, you know, with Ince and Mate, you know, playing almost as, you know, wide inside forwards, whatever you want to call them. But it was more kind of the fact that, I mean, Loom and Hendrick, I'd almost say for the entirety of the first half were just, they were almost non-existent. You know, I mean, Swift, I lost count of how many times Swift found himself on about with, you know, 10, 15 yards of space on the edge of our box, seemingly. You know, that there was nothing almost between our back five and Andy Carroll up front. You know, that there was nothing in between. And you know, when you're giving a team like West Brom that much freedom to have that much space, in where your midfield needs to be, and you know where you need to be pressuring them, you know, you're going to give away chances. And I mean, it materialized, and well, how it wasn't, you know, 2-3-0 after 15 minutes, you know, who knows, you know, it was.
We ended up with Lumley making another save about 2 minutes after that first save, which was, it was a long shot, maybe 20 yards out or so, Paul. And again, this is a good save by Lumley. The rebound is followed up on by DK, but it's blocked. And there was a lot of kind of, it felt like desperation football, didn't it? It felt like we were in the last 10 minutes of the game, not the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, totally. It was one of the most one-sided matches we've seen, wasn't it, really? I mean, it's probably up there with Sheffield United in that first, like, 25, 30 minutes. It was completely, I mean, you've got to ask yourself how West Brom have managed to get themselves so far adrift from the top two, because there's clearly a quality team in there. And I mean, that's for them to deal with. But looking at us, I thought Loom was okay. Well, I discussed this with Matt earlier and we disagree, which is fine. But I think when he had the ball, he did as much as he could. It was very limited space. I thought Hendrick wasn't very good, but yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know what you do with Hendrick. Who else are we going to play but Hendrick? No one.
There's, I mean,
no
one, Alex,
really to come in, is there?
Alex and I had this conversation on the way out from the ground. And I mean, I don't think Loom had particularly a great game like yesterday. I mean, he's not really been great in many games this season, that being said, but like, I'm starting maybe to think whether or not playing next to Hendrick, and this is what we were discussing, actually is now starting to become a hindrance for Loom. Because I guess what he's good at is running about, chasing down and trying to make tackles. He's not the player to get his foot on the ball to start spreading passes left, right, center, you know, or to try and be a progressive midfielder. He's an enforcer in front of the back five.
Although I will say, I think today his passing was better. And that's not saying he's suddenly become like, you know, the next Iniesta or something. However, I think his passing going forwards, he was spreading the play better than he has ever done for us. He's not suddenly going to turn into, you know, the next great midfield tiki-tacky player. But I do think he was better today moving the ball around. But you're right. I think playing next to Hendrick, I do think it limits him in what he's going to do. That's not to say I think he's a amazing player, but he definitely struggles playing against Hendrick, because I feel like he ends up covering for Hendrick and his area of the field.
Yeah,
what you need is a better player alongside him, basically, isn't it, who does all the kind of like the probing, the like little cute passes, the clever movement. I mean even if we had Fornar in there, we could perhaps rotate it slightly, but he can't because he's injured. So
it's just what Alex and I have said, and what we were discussing on the way back. Like, if you put Fornar in there, at least you've got a progressive type of player that can actually get his foot on the ball. Has got a good range of passing. Again, he's no Iniesta or anything, or any top level championship passer. But at least he's going to be better than Hendrick, and also seemingly might not go anonymous in 100% of the game like Hendrick's seems to do. You know, like, the thing that frustrates me with Hendrick at this point is that, you know, he's been here for 6 months and I don't know his role. I don't know what kind of a player he is. And, you know, for someone that's, you know, supposed to be a Premier League player, it's just really disappointing, really, to really be saying that, because you think this guy should have a lot of quality, and he probably does. You know, he's shown it in very small flashes so far this season, but you know, you can't be showing it just once in every, you know, 5-6 games, you know, in the championship when you've got games Saturday, Tuesday. So whether he's a bit tired, I don't know. Maybe the break that he's seemingly going to get with Watford coming up, Ince said obviously he's going to hit him and Ince is going to be definitely rested. Who knows? But yeah, we'll see.
On the tiredness point, I think that was another factor in the opening spell. I mean, we've played, was it 3 games in 6 or 7 days with our squad? It's pretty difficult. And also the age of a lot of our players. We've got the second oldest squad in the whole of the championship. And it's, you know, at times like that, it will begin to show. They're going to have a weekend off though, Alex, aren't they, coming up now? So for a lot of them.
Yeah, I imagine we'll see quite a lot of rotation this weekend for the FA Cup game. It does frustrate me, the kind of the usage of the players being tired and stuff, because we made 3 changes today, granted, but we haven't rotated in the midfield at all. We haven't rotated this. Like, Carroll has started all 3 games. And he's meant to be one of the players who, I mean, at least in the fans' minds, he's meant to be one of the players who struggles to finish 90 minutes. Yeah, he started all three games. Mate has started two out of three. Yet we've got Long and Zhao sitting on the bench. It doesn't really ring true to me that we can buy that all the players are exhausted when we don't really rotate the squad in a way that is sufficient to help them all out in that manner.
Yeah, I think the problem is you've got so many strikers now, Fit, is that I don't understand why Long and especially Lucas Zhao haven't got more time. I just don't understand that at all. That's very, it's baffling. I find that baffling. But what I also think was today that didn't help the team was Tom Ince didn't have a good day today at all. But that doesn't take away from the rest of his season. And that really affects our team because he's our best player, essentially. And if he doesn't play well, it brings the team down as well.
Yeah, I'll agree. I think it was probably Ince's worst game in a Reading shirt. He was really sloppy on the ball. He tried to do way too much when he did have the ball. Didn't look for the simple passes. It was a really, really poor performance from Tom Ince. And I imagine he's aware of it. He's not going to be oblivious to the fact that wasn't his best showing in a Reading shirt. So, yeah, the weekend off for Tom Ince is probably going to do him some good, in all honesty, after having played, three full games in 6 days. Let's get back to the first half. Reading did have one chance in the first half, Matt. Yaku Mate managed to get the ball down on the byline just inside the penalty area on the left-hand side, and he cuts the ball back to Junior Hoyler, who's probably about 10 or 11 yards out, I think, on the right-hand side of the penalty area when it falls to him. And having watched the replay, I think he probably should do better with this because it's quite a big opportunity for us to take the opening goal here.
Yeah, it probably looked more of a clear goal-scoring opportunity when we were in the ground. I have to say, I thought, how has he missed? It's one of those chances which you look at and you think, certainly when you're going to be under the cosh and, you're away from home, those sorts of chances you've got to be taking. I mean, it's probably about 10 yards out on the right. He's completely free. The keeper's on the wrong side of the goal. And, I mean, he just doesn't get any sort of connection on the ball. He doesn't get any power. And he essentially just passed it with some venom, I'd say. It was a forceful pass straight back to the keeper's legs, seemingly. He doesn't put it in the corner. He doesn't get any elevation on it. It's just one of those that you just look at and you're just like in a game like this, you just need to take those chances in those moments. This isn't a team that's going to create 10, 15 chances, every game. So those ones that come, would it have been undeserved? Sure. Yeah, it would have. But, you're at 0-0 at that point. The fact that it might be undeserved is irrelevant, really. You've got to take that chance when it comes. And it's a shame that shame for us anyway that it didn't. But yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest chance that we had, I would say, of the first half, especially. If we move into the second half, I think the second half is probably, I think it's more even. There's less chances being created by West Brom, certainly. We're not necessarily creating any chances of our own, but it feels like we're at least holding our own in the game by this point. Up until 60 minutes, Paul, the ball ends up on the right-hand side. Guinness Walker, who I think he struggled defensively today. And maybe that's not surprising against a higher quality opposition in this division, but he did struggle defensively. He doesn't manage to block the cross. And DK kind of ghosts off of the back of Yeardom. He ghosts off of Yeardom and kind of ends up behind Scott Dan, who doesn't really realise he's there. Scott Dan misses or doesn't get on the clearance from the cross. And DK has like a low diving header to make it 1-0. Lemony's got no chance from 5 yards out. And although it's a frustrating one to concede, it almost felt kind of inevitable because West Brom were putting the ball in the box so much from crosses. And at one point, they had to get something on the end of one of them.
Yeah, totally. No one can say that West Brom didn't deserve to win today. They had so many, not like 8 or 9 chances to score, but they had more than enough and more than us and a higher quality chances than us. But the goal, see, this is the problem with Guinness Walker, isn't it? And the Tom McIntyre situation that we've now got a left back, as I'm kind of eliminating Babel Rahman because he's not really good defensively, and he's not adding us anything attacking wise. So he's kind of like ticked off negatives in both boxes. What do you do? If he stops the cross, probably not a goal, isn't it? You know, we might come away from there a draw. We might not. But you've also got to say Scott, Dan, Yidam should do better there as well. So it's a combination of factors. But I don't know. I don't know what you do with that position at the moment. It's a bit of a problem. If we could find another left back, it would be brilliant, but there's no way we're going to get one. So
you're not seriously considering we continue with the Tom McIntyre left back experiment or left wing back, surely, please.
I am against the better teams, yeah.
I can understand the desire to play McIntyre against the better teams in the division because he is better defensively than Guinness Walker, no doubt about it. But he offers a zero going forwards. Guinness Walker does offer us something going forwards, but you definitely see a drop off at left back. And I mean, today you could see McIntyre was so much more comfortable at left centre back. And he actually had a really good game. A very good game, to be honest, McIntyre, I think. I think you almost are, you're kind of drawn into this world where you don't really leave yourself any option but to play Guinness Walker in my eyes for the majority of your games, because I think we're all agreed generally amongst most Reading fans that Babarama doesn't offer enough. He doesn't offer enough going forwards. He's not good enough at the back anyway to justify that. McIntyre, whilst good defensively, he's prone to kind of being on and off at left back, I think. And it really depends who lines up alongside him at left centre back. Saar alongside him at Norwich was a nightmare. And then Guinness Walker he's not great defensively. I think that's pretty fair to say. He's not a good defender. However, I don't think he's going to necessarily make huge mistakes every week. And I think that if you can get a good game from him, one in three perhaps, where he does something positive going forwards, I feel like it kind of you almost just kind of have to take the rough with the green, as Lansley would say, and accept the accept the bad defending that he might throw in on occasion, because he's going to offer you something going forwards at least.
Thing is though, if Holmes was, you know, not ill, would McIntyre played at left back? We'll never know, will we, today?
I highly doubt it.
We just don't know, though. None of us know.
You don't know. You don't know. But, like, I think, to be honest, and, you know, we've had the discussion about kind of what he offers going forwards. But I think, for me, Norwich away, you know, showed kind of the immense limitations, even when you're playing against the good teams, of actually playing McIntyre at left wing back, because it's just... It essentially means that, you know, you're playing a very good team. Like, yes, it might keep you more defensively stable, but it means going forwards, all you know, a West Brom or a Norwich or a Sheffield United are going to have to do is shut down your right-hand side, and then they've got control of the game, because you're not going to be able to do anything else.
The interesting thing, I think, about McIntyre, and today you saw it at one point, actually, in the point we're about to discuss, once Zhao comes on, McIntyre at centre-back, he does roam and he gets forwards and he actually becomes creative when he's at centre back, but at left back he doesn't have that at all.
Well, he did it a lot earlier. He did it a lot earlier in the season where it's almost like I think we discussed it a bit earlier in the season as well, where, you know, each Yeardom's almost at right centre back and McIntyre's at left centre back, and both of them almost, you know, in that kind of wilder centre back overload type, you know, tactic, both have freedom to then move forward and kind of spread the play. And I guess it's why maybe some people want to see him, you know, experimented at, you know, defensive midfield, because he's got this actual kind of ability to actually
He is happy to drive with the ball, McIntyre. So I think having him there at left centre back makes a lot of sense. Left back, I'm less sure on him at left back, but I can kind of understand why people don't want to see Guinness Walker play, because defensively he just isn't all there yet.
Essentially, we've got three not ideal options at left back, have we?
Yeah.
There's not one of them that stands out, really.
To me, it feels like you just kind of have to take the best positive from them all and go with that one. And that's what I would do. Paul Ince might be different. He might end up playing Babarama for the next 25 games, but... we'll see. I think you're right, Paul. Ideally, you would go out and get another left back, but that is probably an unrealistic expectation for January. So we'll move on from that conversation for now. We do try and push for an equaliser, particularly in the last 10 minutes or so. Tom McIntyre plays a nice ball into Lucas Schell's feet, who I think it's fair to say he was quite involved once he came on, Matt, Lucas Schell. This one goes into his feet kind of at the edge of the area, and he produces a nice piece of footwork to draw a save from, well, actually, no, a deflection from the West Brom player, and we win a corner off it. And I think it's a really difficult one to see, especially once Zhao and Long came on, why Zhao doesn't get a bit more time, because we did look more threatening from open play once he came on.
Yeah, you know, I think when you have Andy Carroll on the pitch, you're very forced to play one way, you know, and it's not a way that helps Lucas Schell. And to be honest, and kind of in the situation that we're in right now, you know, I kind of feel that just having Lucas Schell on the pitch will just give you more chance of, you know, wins, because he can do things at his feet that no other Reading player can do. He can produce finishes that no other Reading player can do. He can make things happen. He's probably the one player that you'd look to in a team, probably, or in the team at the moment, bar possibly Ince, who you'd look to and say, right, you can come and change the game for us now. You know, and that's what he nearly did today when he came on, Zhao. You know, I think maybe fans might, I don't know, maybe be on his back slightly because he didn't score. But at the end of the day, he's had 30 minutes to, or not even 30 minutes, it was 20 minutes, I think, by the time he came on, you know, to try and do something. And, you know, we said that, you know, Paul Ince just seemingly just doesn't fancy Lucas Schell for whatever reason. Maybe he prefers the striking style of Andy Carroll. Maybe he prefers the experience. I don't know. But I think when you've got a goal scorer like Zhao bottled up at the moment, you know, and just essentially just put out to the side, you know, I would just like to see a run of three or four games of Lucas Schell in the team at this point, and not next to Carroll either, because Lucas Schell next to Carroll, again, as Norwich showed, just doesn't work. You know, they are polar opposites of the play styles.
I think I agree. I think it would be good to see Zhao get three or four games, because ultimately, if he isn't going to score in those three or four games, then yeah, I get it. You can put him back on the bench and not start him and go back to playing Carroll and Mate up front. But when we're struggling to score from open play as much as we are, I think it feels like you should at least give him a shot for us to try and do something from open play.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is about Lucas Schell today is he showed his ability. You know, he wasn't devastating, but you get that extra element of his game. I would add that West Brom sat off slightly after they scored.
Yeah, I agree. I think once
they sat off, yeah.
Once Schell comes on, they definitely are sitting back slightly. They're not dominating the game in the same way, were they? They weren't like trying to hold the ball and push.
I mean, they still had two great chances. I mean, it's West Brom, but you expect that because we're pushing up, so that's inevitable. But I do think that, I mean, the thing is, when Andy Carroll actually got the ball today, he linked the play a lot better. But the problem is, his pure presence causes an issue for the rest of the team. So it is a kind of tough one. And yeah, I'm sure that Lucas Schell will start next week, surely.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't start, against Watford in the Cup. We'll wait and see whether that makes a difference to him starting in the league or not. We did have the Schell kind of deflected shot, which went out for a corner. We made one last big chance from, which I think if we'd scored here, we probably could have gone on and claimed a point quite comfortably, because at that point it felt like West Brom had kind of shut down for the day. And the corner comes in from our right-hand side, Paul. Shane Long gets a flick on at the near post. Really good flick on, to be honest, from Long. And it falls to probably one of the worst options that he could have fallen to in Babar Rahman, who heads it over from, what, 4 or 5 yards?
It was the worst option. I mean, of all the players you could fall to, you want that to fall to a Lucas Schell. You want that to fall to a kind of Tom McIntyre. Any defensive defender would have been ideal there. just to power it in. You know, no subtlety. Just get that ball on target, powerful header, and it's probably a goal. But instead, kind of like he gets too far ahead of the ball and he has to lean back slightly. And it's just a bad effort. It's a horrible, horrible effort. And yeah, you kind of knew then that was the game over. You always live a slightly in hope. You thought that's the one golden moment in this half. And yeah, it's just not working for Babaramam at all, is it? It's just not his season at all.
No, I agree. And it's a frustrating one because it's not a challenged header for him there. It really is a free header. And I think if it falls to any other, you know, nearly any other player we have on the field, I think they're at least going to get it on target. But yeah, to miss the target, Lansley from 3 or 4 yards out it's not good there. And ultimately, I think it probably, as Paul said, that was our last opportunity. And it ultimately probably costs us a point not scoring. Well, it does cost us a point not scoring there, but it's a really big chance to miss.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was saying it in the stand at the time, you know, that's pretty much the game right there. You know, I mean, but for Rahman to miss, I mean, it's a cardinal sin really at that point. You know, for whatever you think of the performance of today, you've stayed in the game and you've kept it 1-0. You've kept it to a point where you only need one little bit of quality. You know, you only need one moment and you're walking away a lot happier. You're walking away with a point. So in a sense, the team actually did very well there just to keep us in the game at that point. But when a chance comes up like that, you've got to take it. You know, I mean, like Paul said, he's going backwards a bit. It's dreadful. It's a really bad miss. But yeah, it's just, for whatever reason, it's not quite clicking for Rahman this year. You know, I would have thought maybe coming back from the World Cup, because he had an okay World Cup, he might have, you know, been able to kick on a little bit. Like Loom has, you know, in a bit, Loom's performances have got slightly better since the World Cup. I know that wasn't hard from before, but, you know, it's an improvement. With Rahman, it's just petering out at the moment, you know. And I didn't really understand fully the decision actually to bring Rahman on really in the first place, because we were trailing. Ince has come out after Norwich and saying that, you know, Guinness Walker is our best offensive wing back. And if you're chasing a game, why are you taking off your best offensive wing back in that situation? For Rahman, it just didn't really make sense to me in that moment. You know, who knows if he doesn't come on, what happens at that corner. But yeah, he's got to be scoring.
It's a subject for another day, but I really struggled with Ince's substitutions today.
And picked out of a hat, I think you said after the game.
It just feels like when he makes substitutions, it often feels like there's no plan. And I praise his substitutions at Norwich, but ultimately, I praise them probably because of the result at the end, the fact that they worked and Guinness Walker won a penalty. However, it doesn't feel like there's necessarily a plan with the substitutions that come on. Zhao and Long came on today and Babaramon came on. And it felt like as you say, you're taking off your best offensive wing back after Hoylett's already come off for Mbengue. You're then taking off your best offensive wing back. But for what means, what purpose? The substitutions often just feel like they're just kind of like, well, it isn't working at the minute, so I'm just going to throw on some other players and hope for the best. There doesn't seem to be like an idea or a meaning to any of the substitutions that we make a lot of the time. And it's a really confusing one to watch.
It's a different part of the topic, but like I said at the beginning of the podcast, how did we manage to decide to play one up front? And that one was Andy Carroll today. That was baffling for the first 15 minutes. Anyone I just find that a weird one, a really weird one, considering how West Brom play, the form they've been in, how we've played for the rest of the season. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. And you are like a bit on a roulette sometimes with Paul Ince. You're never quite sure what's going to come up.
Yeah, it's 26 games and 26 different starting lineups. So, you know, maybe we'll get an unchanged lineup against QPR next weekend in the league, who knows? But we will be back later on this week for a preview of the Watford game in the FA Cup, which is Saturday lunchtime, and expecting lots of changes and probably quite a small crowd and a very small amount of interest from both Watford and Reading fans around the world. But we'll be covering it as always. And then we'll be back next week for the league game against QPR as
buzzing
well.
For that, Alex. Buzzing for that Watford game now.
Third round of the FA Cup, where Paul Linton's already said it's not a priority. And 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Cannot wait.
Watford lost about four players today through injuries.
I believe they're down 15 players now due to injuries. They've got one central midfielder fit currently, and his name is Leandro Bacuna. So
watch out for that on Saturday. The return of Leandro Bacuna, potentially. This could be interesting. There's a reason to get down to the SEL for Saturday. Get down there and boo Leandro Bacuna on his return. There we go.
Well, that's going to make it all worthwhile, I'm sure. if that's not a reason to go, then I'm sure no one else is going to be able to find one.
I've tried my best.
If you've enjoyed today's podcast, drop us a review on iTunes and Spotify. 5-star review would be lovely. Click the subscribe button or follow button on your podcast feed. We will be back before the weekend, and until then, have a great week. Cheers.